You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by the good folks at 4th District and the good folks at Tumblr. That has our SoundCloud, our Facebook, our Twitter, which is at CRS Podcast. Basically, go to ClockRadioSpeakers.com. You can connect with us everywhere. Our iTunes, please subscribe. And I might get into a little rant and a tirade about that. But it'll be, you know, it's a good rant, though. It's not a mad rapper. This is my fourth album rant. It's my fourth year doing a podcast. And you can follow us there. So that other guy, that other weird voice that just creepily came out of nowhere is Doc. What's going on, man?
It's not creepy. What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at @Doc_beats. That's not a Z. And I forgot if you said it, but shout out to 4th District. You can find our stuff there as well.
Shout out to 4th District. Nah, it's creepy. It's creepy for the new fans who don't know, you know. For some people, episode 189, this is their first foray, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to 4th District. You know, they have definitely expanded our audience. So, you know, shout out to everybody who has just, you know, gotten on the train, on the CRS train. You know, we welcome you. We have Punch and Pie. But we also have 189 episodes. So, you know, while we're on this break, because we announced it last week that Doc and I are taking the summer off, we're taking a couple bars off to let Just Live. There are 189 episodes. Mm-hmm. Before we went to Side A and Side B, some of those episodes were like 3 hours.
I saw, so somebody asked me, somebody who's catching up on our discography, as
and
it were.
Shout out to those, and I know who you're talking about in particular, so shout out to you, and shout out to those who hit us up, you know, who like are going out their way to catch up and ask us about stuff. Definitely shout out to you.
So, somebody asked me if we had stuff on Kanye West, and I was like, do we ever? And I went,
how long is that discography? How long is that retro? 6 hours?
It's like 3 episodes. One of the episodes is at least 2.5 hours. Like, the Wu-Tang discography, like, I mean, a retrospective.
Bad Boy discography.
Bad Boy Retro. Death Row Retro. I think that was the first one we did, maybe?
That was the first one we did, because we got killed for it.
No, wait, didn't we do an Outkast one? Early on.
Was that
early
on? Maybe.
Because we did a Jay.
I don't know if that was early.
Anyway,
I feel like Jay was the first one we did. Right. I feel like Jay and Nas were earlier than Outkast.
That was all pretty early. We did some early retros. And all that to say, first of all, I love that people are checking that out. But I was a little, you know, I was like, man, I hope those hold up. And I went back. I started listening to one of them.
Are they bad?
Number one, I was like, oh my goodness, the sound quality. Number two, I was like, yo, it's the old theme song.
Yeah, I listened to that. Speaking of the new theme song, Kairos turns 2 this week. Do you know that?
I feel like a proud papa. Maybe an uncle.
His only son that made it. Yep.
Yeah, you're the papa. I guess that makes me the uncle.
Yeah, you the uncle.
Uncle, okay.
Uncle Doc.
Uncle Doc.
Uncle Doc. Kairos turns 2. I think I might let that joint that we did go.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I think I might let that go.
Okay.
Just on some, you know, Happy Kairos Day or something like that.
Happy Kairos Day.
Yeah, just let it go. Why not? People been asking for new music, so
sure.
You know, why not?
Sure, why not?
So while we're gone, my original point, we're gone, there's 189 episodes. Each of those episodes is between 2 and 3 hours. Trust me, there's people asking for retrospectives that we've done, but we haven't done. You know, like, we haven't necessarily done a specific retrospective on artists, but we've talked about them enough on the show to where we've covered a good chunk of their career. So go back and listen to those episodes, man, especially those ones, maybe not the ones that jump out at you. There was a point where Doc was like, you know, naming stuff based off of things that we said, like read some of the descriptions. Like, there's some jewel. I say there's jewels in every Clock Radio Speakers episode. I think the podcast is amazing. But you know, it might not catch your eye or your ear initially, but like, check some of those episodes out that may not necessarily, you know, jump out at you. There's definitely, we talk about a lot. If it's happened within the last 4 years, and dare I say, a good chunk of the history of hip hop, especially within the last, I don't know, 20 years, we've probably covered a good, I'll say majority of it. I won't give a percentage out, but there's a lot of Clock Radio Speakers material out there to hold you down and suffice while Doc and I are, you know, got our feet up sipping Mai Tais.
The Windy Day episode's classic.
Day?
What's that?
Oh, yes. Windy Day. Listen, if you are an artist and you listen, because we have a lot of artists, a lot of rappers, a lot of unsigned, independent artists who listen to the show. Listen to that Windy Day episode. If you don't know who Windy Day is, Google Windy Day. Right. And then, I mean, God, like, God bless her for even getting on the show. Because she was great. She was a great host. She was very nice, very gracious. She dropped some serious jewels that we probably should have paid for. She was great.
She was great.
She's great. The Lavoisier episode is great.
Yeah.
The Twitter is cocaine episode is great. A lot of people like the religion and hip hop episode. The God Forgives I Don't episode is classic. There's a lot, man. There's a lot. We probably need to do that. We probably need to like almost like last episodes. We need to like set up, you know, kind of like what I've been talking about, what we wanted to do, or what I've been wanting to do for a while, is kind of do like a Clock Radio Speakers retrospective.
Like a clip show.
Not necessarily. I know you said it was a little, you know, like, you know, tooting our own horn, but yeah. I think we can do it in a way. We can do it in a way that's a little more educational.
Right. One thing that Fourth District and I have, I can't speak today, have been talking about is during the summer when we're off. And when we say summer, we should clarify, we mean roughly June and July with the idea to come back in August.
Depending on how hot it is. Or it's hot in August. I do.
Oh, no.
I'm hot.
I'm just going to be sitting fine. I'll be sitting here in front of the mic just talking to myself. No, I'm just kidding.
And you could just like punch me in and just like you can pull the old Doc and like take quotes from older episodes and piece them together.
Listen, I love y'all, but that's a lot of time though. Anyway, what was I going to say? But we've talked to Forth about the possibility of maybe trying to, you know, specifically point out some of these older episodes based off of maybe something that's going on. You know, if something's going on and we go, hey, if you want to hear what we've said about this before, and do a little promo behind that for those who might have missed out on the first time. So all that to say, we're going to take some time off. We're going to recharge our batteries. Armand's spending time with his kids. I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be doing all sorts of stuff. We were just talking before the show starts. I'm going to be traveling right when the Only Built for Cuban Links reunion tour is coming to the Northeast. Like the 3 days that they are within driving distance of my house, I will be on the other side of the country, and I cannot believe it. So do some traveling, summer vacation, like July, I'm all over the place. Armand's got stuff going on. So there's a lot that you can check up on. But for for those of you who are diehard fans who've been here since the beginning, we love y'all. That's all I can say.
Yeah, love y'all. And there's some other podcasts who have, I mean, when you think about it, see, now this might sound, you know, toot hornish.
Okay.
But, you know, when you and I were doing podcasts, like, I don't know if there were like a whole lot of hip hop podcasts. Like now it's the cool thing to do. Like everybody has a podcast. But in 2010, 2011, like that wasn't a thing. But I say that to say there are, you know, I don't want to say plenty, but there's definitely some quality podcasts, websites, you know, content. If you really want to, you know, because I'm going to keep it real. Like, there's a really good chance, unless I'm really excited about a project, if you hit me up asking my opinion on something on Twitter, like, I'm going to direct you to August. I'm sorry. You might want to hit Doc up. Like, I need a break. I need to, like, completely just be a hip-hop fan and not a co-host of a podcast. So I'm going to holler at Doc.
It's funny you say that you want to be a fan, not a co-host, because we need to talk about an event that happened this weekend.
Yes. Great transition, Doc. You are a much better transitioner than I am. Great job.
That caused you and I to have this sort of conversation on Twitter where you were basically telling me to be a fan.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Jay-Z B-Sides concert, part of the Title X series of concerts. So it was, the first show was Saturday night.
It was originally supposed to be Wednesday, and then they spread it out into a 2-day event, Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. The first night I know it was live for free. The second night I know it was live. I'm not sure it was for free. They switched up really only a handful of things.
So you have a list of what they, okay. Never mind. I know what you're talking about. The things they switched up, I believe. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for night two, some of the small mistakes they made, like Jay forgot some of his lines. He messed up the imaginary player versus, you know, you could tell, like, we'll talk about it more in depth, but like some of the stuff that they messed up, they did a little tighter. And then,
No Jeezy.
They did Sweet, which would have been cool.
Yeah, I saw that on I think Just Blaze Instagram, the set list. I was like, wait, they did Sweet?
Right. Apparently that was at Beyonce's request. What was interesting is there were, you know, like Ross was there in the, like, watching. Like, they couldn't bring Ross out for something, you know.
Yeah, I thought about that, and we're going to get into that in a minute. I was like, I wonder, is he going to do, he's doing, you know, he's doing S. Carter Collection records. Like, is he going to do his unreleased verse for Maybach Music?
Or even just, I mean, you know, well, we could, I mean, considering the set list they did on Saturday night, you know, they could have done, I don't know, Devil Is a Lie or something. I mean, just the fact that he didn't even think to do that was interesting. But let's just talk about your reaction to the concert, and then I want to talk about the set list. So, like,
okay, let me pull up the set list.
Yeah.
I've got a link.
Okay.
Do you have one?
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. All right, cool. I got one. But what were you saying? You want me to?
Yeah. So, like, overall, like, before we go, like, I'm not saying we're going to track by track to the set list. I mean, we might as well. But we're not going to review, but just scan through what worked, what didn't. But overall, what was your overall impression?
I think the reason why I told you to be a fan is just because, man, like, that concert was amazing, man. Like, it really made, you know, it's almost like when you get a greatest hit to somebody, or just more recently, you know, say you're on Spotify and maybe you're listening to Spotify radio or you hear a song in a store and you're like, oh, I want to hear this artist. And then you look them up on Spotify and, you know, you realize they have a greatest hits and you go and you're like, oh, man, like this person really has records. You know, there's 15 songs in the greatest hits and like the first 9 or 10 are crazy. I forgot all about these songs. Not to say I forgot about them, but Jay, man, does Jay have, we've talked about Jay's albums and, you know, he has, you know, two definitive classics, one or two arguable, and then like the rest are pretty much the same, where he has a couple of great songs, a couple of bad songs, and then the rest are kind of in the middle. But like this set list, like there's still a good 20 or 30 records he could have done, and it still would have been like as strong.
Well, but right. I mean,
he the set list was nuts, man. The concert was crazy. It was crazy.
The set list was it was up and down. And I'm not even trying to nitpick. It was clear that they were a little ambitious because by the end they were really running out of steam.
Jay was definitely tired.
Yeah.
I understand. This is what I want, you know, our fans and people, just fans of hip hop, to understand. When your favorite artist, you know, dumbs down his words to double his dollars, like, yeah, he does it to, you know, be more simple and be a little more accessible musically. But let me tell you from personal experience, it's hard to rappity rap on stage.
Right.
It's very hard. And that, as you said on Twitter, that Jay-Z 97, 98, 96 style, like to do that live for a 2-hour show, that's a lot of work. That takes, like, Jay should have been on some like CrossFit
right,
for like
right.
6 months, man. Like that takes a lot of work. So there's a reason why, there's a logistical reason why rappers sort of dumb down their, not even dumb down, but just simplify their flow, because when you perform those records live, man, like people can't hear you. You're out of breath. Like there's a whole bunch of stuff. It's not just you know, I'm trying to get on and this is what's popping. Like, no, I'm trying to preserve my career. I want to be able to do a 45 minute, hour and a half set and like not pass out.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I'm always skeptical of when artists, and you and I disagree on this, I'm always skeptical of when artists let their live show influence what they do in the studio too much, because the history of that is so mixed. It's, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes you're like, oh, they did that because they want to be able to play this live. And you want for the live show to be great, but I never want the live show to come at the cost of the studio, because I'm still like an old school music head. And like the concept of a studio album to me is still the defining characteristic of an artist for me. Now, everybody's not going to be like that, and I'm nitpicky, right? But just in general, like I thought the set list, the first time I saw it, I didn't start watching until 22 Twos. So I missed that first like quarter of the concert.
That first quarter was nuts.
Right. And when I was like, oh, I missed Streets Is Watching, Friend or Foe, Where I'm From. I missed Show You How, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I missed stuff that I you know, and the stuff that I saw, like I said, there was stuff that I thought really worked well. I thought that the Rockefeller reunion was touching more than it was well executed. Like, it was a little sloppy, but that was okay.
That was told. I think that was, shoot, somebody downloaded the wrong instrumental because Jade, like, Freeze verse just cuts off. Like, you don't let Beanie do that verse?
They did it on the second night.
Okay. I think that was a logistical mistake on Just Blaze and Young Guru's end.
Well, and it's funny because the part of the, like, there's a stretch of the show that I was just like, what? And that would be right after the Rock reunion, which was Click, which nobody asked for Jay to do Click.
Nobody.
The We Made It freestyle, which, okay. Exhibit C, which I know people love, but yeah,
I saw you in hyphen.
It's
going back and forth for that.
Like, look, like, people call that Just Blaze's greatest beat, and I'm just like, okay, just have a seat for a moment. You're out of breath, or you're like lightheaded or something, because no, it's a good beat. It's a really good beat, but just relax a little, people.
Nah, that beat is crazy.
Go Crazy was okay. I didn't need Who Dat. I like that record, but that's not why people came to this. It was a rocky sort of thing, but then it sort of picked back up. The ending was all sorts of kind of funky and sloppy, and it was clear they wanted a way to like show off what the band did, which is a very like cool thing that really good live artists do. Like, they figure out a way to, and I'm being really critical because, number one, this is Jay-Z, who has toured how many times? Like, Jay knows. Jay's not a young artist who got up there and tried to do something incredibly ambitious.
Right.
Right. Like, Jay knows how to tour. He's toured with live bands before. He knows what to do. It was a little sloppy, but it was great to hear some of these records live. It was great.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, man, you, when you have a discography like that, like, I'm sure they were, I'm sure it like came down to the wire. I know that final set list that they got, they probably settled on like maybe a day or two, very close to the actual date.
I don't doubt.
So I think because of that, there was, you know, some things that they necessarily, they were like, ah, well, you know, we'll figure it out, you know, because they maybe didn't have the time to really polish it, you know. I'm giving Jay the benefit of the doubt on a lot of this. I think you and I have been, you know, notoriously very hard on Jay. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because I think this was ambitious.
Mm.
I think this was ambitious because, you know, you and I have talked about Jay's shows in the past. The past few years, they've been very safe. Very, very safe. So he has a tour. He's going to do PSA. He's going to do Big Pimpin'. He's going to do Give It To Me. You know, he might throw a B-side record in there. I know he did the Dynasty intro at Made in America a couple years ago. But for the most part, you know what you're going to get from a Jay-Z concert. Jay, at this point, he can do novelty shows. You know, the Reasonable Doubt tour, the American Gangster with the live band. Like, he has a discography to do things like this. So,
right.
You know, I just, again, just as a fan, I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed it. Now, to respond to your part about the lulls, I don't disagree with that. I think Click was probably the only part where I was like, what? Like, because if you want to, I get it. Okay. Let's talk about this, Doc. Like, if you want to, you know, show off, hey, Rockefeller is my click, do a Rockefeller click. Y'all could have did as one.
No, because I would have, no.
No, I'm saying like they could have, I mean, I think Rock Army's a little too deep in the catalog, but they could have at least did Rock the Mic. Young Guns could have at least did Can't Stop Won't Stop.
How they didn't pull out Rock the Mic, I was waiting for Rock the Mic, actually.
I don't know why they didn't do Rock the Mic.
Because
when you bring out Jay Electronica and Young Jeezy, I think a lot of that was to give Jay a break.
Sure.
You know, let him get his win back. You get your win back while they perform Rock the Mic, because I mean, you're on the remix, but the remix is unreleased. Nobody really knows, unless you're like a real big Rockefeller head, that there was a remix of Rock the Mic that had Jay on it that they never put out.
Right, and it's no accident that they open the show with, if I'm looking at this correctly, the beginning of the show has a lot, especially that run like Streets Is Watching, Friend or Foe, Where I'm From, like those are challenging songs. Like,
and he did the Flo whole. Yeah,
but
you're
then,
right.
But then you notice he does, when he brings on Jay and Jeezy, after that, when he sort of catches his breath a little bit, he goes back on Can I Live, In My Lifetime Remix, Feeling It, Imaginary Player. Like, I don't think that's an accident. Like, he needed that break to do that.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Because, I mean, he did the whole I'm shocked he did the entire Streets Is Watching verse, or the whole song. Like, he didn't have to do the third verse.
Right. Yeah, some of the stuff, like, it was interesting that he didn't do really anything from Takeover.
He can't do Takeover.
Then why even? Well, you know, I mean, that was part of it.
You teased it. I get why you teased it, but it was like, are you really going to rap this? Like, there's no way you're going to rap this song. There's no way you're going to rap this song. You're going to reignite. You know, Prodigy's going to go off on Twitter. And you know, you can't do it with Nas because you know, like, you and Nas are cool now. So, I mean, I guess you could do the third verse.
No, you can't because of how that ends.
All your other cats taking shots at Jigga, you only get half a ball.
No, wait. Is it the third or the second verse where he's
the third verse is a wise man told me don't argue with fools right, from a distance. Right. You can't tell who that verse really isn't directed in it. Well, no. Does he say Nas's name on the third verse?
Hold on. See, this is why we've got the internet. Take over.
Yeah, let's go to Rap Genius. He's not Jay. He's not for play.
So, oh no. See, the end of, oh, you're thinking of verse four. Verse three is the one against Nas. Yeah, right. The first.
Okay, that's right. Because the first verse is the first shot to Mobb right. Deep.
Then the second
verse is completely Prodigy. Right. Third verse is Nas.
Right. Because okay, I was going to say, third verse is where he does that. You know who did you know what? Like, you can't know.
Yeah, no. Yeah, don't sound.
Once we all discovered what that was, it's so disrespectful.
Right. Yeah, he could have been super ugly.
That would have been awful.
Yeah. I mean, Twinkle Toes, you breaking my heart. You can't F with me. Go play somewhere. I'm busy. I mean, that's a Prodigy shot. So
right. All right. So you're right. I mean, and it's funny, right? Because there was some stuff like, I can't believe he did It's Like That.
I'm shocked.
Who cares about It's Like That?
I do.
Oh, come on.
I do. It was good. I think he only did one verse, right?
I think so. It was short.
Yeah, I'm cool with one verse if it's like that. Like, I'm cool with that.
Right. I love that he did Allure.
Oh, man.
I know. I love that he did Success.
Yeah, I was not expecting. I was like, dang, you're going to do. I was like, dang, out of all the records. See, I was kind of upset about Party Life. I like Party Life.
I love that record.
But, you know, me, like, American Gangster sometimes is my second favorite Jay album.
I know.
Depending on my mood. So I'm like, you're not going to do American Dreamin'. He did the same thing with Say Hello. He teased it.
So ghetto right there. I was going to say, there's really not much from Volume 3 here.
You know, and I went back and I originally was like, man, I wish he would have did Dope Man. I don't think Dope Man would have went over well live.
Yeah, people don't really. It's funny. I think that's one of Jay's completely underrated performances. I think absolutely. That third verse is incredible.
Yeah, that song is amazing.
But if that comes on, it's not. People aren't going to be like, oh.
I mean, right. They might initially. You might get the, oh.
But yeah, but like, it won't be the same.
It won't. Yeah, it won't care. Like, he might could do the first verse in the hook. He can't do that whole song.
No. You could have done Come and Get Me, which would have been incredible, but, you know.
The first part.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he could have did that. I really don't like the B switch on that, but I think
we talked about that on the J Retro, which you can find on clockradiospeakers.com. Yeah.
I was shocked he did In My Lifetime remix. I was shocked he did. I was happy to hear him do Never Change. Looking through, of course he did The Evils, incredible. I mean when he did Grammy Family Freestyle, I almost passed out.
I know, I was on as a
yeah, I was,
our mind needs see, to be revived now, somewhere.
Now I wish, here's me being nitpicky.
It's okay.
See, this is why I don't like you, Doc, because I was hell bent on not talking about this show. I was just gonna say, you know what, I was a fan, I loved it, and that's it. And here we are 15 minutes into this conversation.
Yeah.
Now, when he did, I was actually talking to Dre Murray while, you know, we were texting back and forth while the show was going on. So he's clamoring for Beans. Like, yo, he's got to bring Beanie out. He's got to bring Beanie. And we need to talk about that. So I guess we can talk about it now. So when he did Ignorant-ish,
yeah,
he went into Grammy Family and then Takeover and then You, Me, Him, and Her. He could have did Success, Grammy Family, Takeover, into Ignorant-ish, and then let Siegel do his Ignorant-ish verse and then do You, Me, Him, and Her, and bring the, so because the Jay and Beanie reunion at this stage in 2015 is more awe-inspiring than the Jay-Z Rockefeller reunion, because we know Bleak is going to be there. We're, you know, Freeway and Young Guns, that's not like a crazy thing or whatever.
I thought it worked out though, because Bleak came out, and because Bleak was first, he was the first guest, it gave him a moment.
Yeah, true.
If you start with Beanie, no offense to Bleak, but he doesn't get the same reaction.
He gets overshadowed. You're right. Yeah, because it that sort of happened to Freeway. So when Freeway comes out for What We Do, it's like it takes a while. I mean, right. I guess it didn't, you know, help that his mic was off for the first few bars. But
it would have been great if he would have done One Night Hunter Hustler.
Yeah. One Night Hunter Hustler would have been crazy. Yeah.
But you know, that this is the problem, and this is a good problem to have with the Jay-Z B-sides list, right? It was good to get an interesting idea of what he meant by B-sides, which is basically not my hits.
Yeah.
Although,
but
some of these were singles.
Well, PSA was a true B-side, but it had a video.
Dead President's Part One was a single.
Listen, no, hold on. This is why I'm not mad at that.
Okay.
It's because a lot of people, the fact that he did Dead President's One, that's not available on the album.
Right, I get that.
Let that fly. That was crazy. I don't even know why he did. And I love Dead President's Two, but Dead President's One, like, crazy. I forgot the other point I was going to make. Oh, well. What were we talking about?
I loved Rhyme No More over the slight tweak of numbers on the boards.
Yes.
I thought that was really good.
That was super dope.
I loved when at the end of the Evils when they transitioned into Murder Was the Case, then they transitioned into Murder Marcy. For a second I was like, is this Murder Marcy though? Took me a minute.
He's done the Evils into Murder Was the Case before.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Let me see. The Evils. I was shocked he did This Can't Be Life. That was great. Oh my God, he did Hovey Baby. Oh. Oh, Hovey Baby. Man. Hovey Baby. Great song.
I love that he did Show You How. Love it.
Yeah. I love he did Guess Who's Back.
This is why it's an interesting show. So
I wanted him to bring Scarface out. That would have been dope.
You see, Scarface has a book out.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
So I want to talk about the title side of it in a second, but in terms of the music side, it seems like you were really happy with it.
I was very happy with it. I mean, yeah, you know, I think we all have ideas. Well, I wish he would have did this record. You know, again, Jay hasn't performed some of these records ever. So I understand, you know, why he would have forgot. Shoot, I forget records that I wrote 6 months ago. So.
And what's interesting is anything on here which you would consider unreleased?
No. Right. The closest thing to it is probably, you know, the S. Carter Collection freestyles.
But that was an actual mixtape.
Yeah, it was an actual mixtape.
Right.
You know, so most Jay fans have it. So, right. No. So and then maybe the Grammy Family freestyle. Other than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's I'm not at all surprised. Like, you know, I was joking, but I was like, yo, if he plays Early This Morning, I'm paying for title, like as tribute.
That would have been dope.
But in retrospect, I wonder how many people actually know that.
Right.
Like we know that.
Right.
And same I'm guessing
people,
a
same
percentage
people talking.
Right. Well, yeah, I think Early This Morning is better known than People Talking, but maybe not. An interesting question.
It was actually on an album. It was on Unplugged.
Talk about it. Talk about deep cuts. It was a hidden track on Unplugged. So let me ask everybody this. So use the hashtag Cloud Radio Speakers. So if you're listening, I'm guessing that this is a nerdier subset of hip hop fans than normal. But are you familiar with these really like deep J cuts? Like Early This Morning, People Talking.
Get My Ish Off.
Get My Ish Off. What was the other record from the Blueprint or the Blueprint leaks after Blueprint One?
It was okay. It was Murder Marcyville. It was Early This Morning.
See, I can think of the beat, but I can't. Oh, Addicted to the Game. Thank you.
Addicted to the Game.
Like you and I know these records.
Yeah, we're very familiar.
But I don't know if anybody else knows these records. So let us know. Hit us up on Twitter and let us know. So talking about the non-music aspect of it. So.
Yeah,
I can't believe this was free.
Yeah, I didn't even have to. I'd sign up the Tidal and then come to find out I didn't have to. You think that was a bad move on Tidal's end? You think we should have had to sign up for that?
So there's a free trial,
right?
Like, yes. I mean, isn't that ostensibly the point?
Absolutely.
Because the problem is it's going to end up on YouTube, which it did. So, but in terms of live, like this is
right.
If there's one, like even though there's this huge shift to streaming. The one thing that people still care about, the one reason why a lot of people still pay for cable is they want live events. Sports, sometimes it's other live events, but like stuff that's live.
It's exactly why I can't get rid of my cable box.
Right. And the idea of having these sort of title exclusives that now could be built around live performances as well.
Right.
That you have to sign up to get. That's an actual hook.
I agree. I mean, even today, I saw that they gave away 500 passes to Made in America on Tidal.
Right. That's an interesting hook because I signed up for free as well. I immediately like went in and said, "Nah, don't auto renew me," but I wanted to check it out, and it's okay. It's not like an incredible app or an incredible experience. So they're gonna.
I wasn't crazy about it.
I can get really nitpicky and say that like. The web if you're not on your phone, like the web player uses Flash, so you can't like, it's kind of annoying in some cases, but that's all like nitpicky, just like in terms of design or everything else, like it's not really that great. So they're going to have to win on content, which means they're going to have to like, and so we know, we've already seen, cause this has happened again, right? The Nicki Minaj Beyonce video premiered on Tidal, but it didn't take long to end up elsewhere. So these, like this idea of exclusives that like are just videos or songs, those are gonna go elsewhere. But live exclusives, now that's interesting.
Because now you have the fact that like Twitter where, you know, I mean, I had my homegirl who was very upset. Like she was like, she was like, I hate live tweeting. She was like, I hate when my Twitter timeline when everybody's tweeting about the same thing. But it becomes like that experience. Like, yo, I gotta make sure my phone is charged because the whatever is tonight and I'm gonna live tweet it.
Right.
So if you want to be a part of that experience, which there's a chunk of people who do, you want that live experience that this concert had. And for me, I don't know. Like, this is why I don't take video footage of most concerts. That's why I don't understand why people take video footage of concerts. Like, if you're not posting it on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, like, do you sit down with your phone and watch the whole concert back? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get if you have like audio, you know what I'm saying? All right, I'm gonna take, you know, my recorder. I'm gonna take the audio. I'm gonna rip it. You know, I'm gonna cut it up and I'm gonna make a live album. That I get and I'm totally cool with. But like, why the whole time are you recording this footage? Like, are you looking back on it? I don't necessarily know if that's true. So I say all that to say, me as a fan, I want the live experience. So if I have to sign up the title to get that, then I'm just going to have to. I think that's one thing that, you know, I'm very curious and we need to talk about, you know, Apple, because I think you need to explain it. Like I sort of read like the article that you sent me and I read some other ones or whatever. You know, I think that's the direction that, you know, Apple's streaming service is going to and Spotify is going to. So but right now Tidal has the edge because they are offering exclusive content, even though it eventually ends up on the internet. Just the fact that there's other things besides music on there, you know, by artists, you know, so for example, Beyonce on Stevie Wonder's birthday, she did the Stevie Wonder playlist. Like that's just little extra stuff that they do that some people are going to be interested in.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to really, I don't know. Like I think I said this before, which I don't know if I said it on Twitter on the show, which is basically if you're going to come into an industry or any sort of situation where there's already people who are doing well, you can't just be a little better. You have to be significantly better or in some way. Right. Now, better can be defined in a lot of ways. You can either be super cheap. That's one way you can be quote unquote better by one metric, right? Maybe you're way easier to use. Maybe it's, I can only find some stuff. Like there has to be some driving reason, right? And Jay's like the messaging with Tidal has been awful. Like, you know, it was really like tone deaf to have a bunch of really successful artists on stage when they introed it going, well, you know, we need more money. Like that didn't really come off well. But this idea of exclusive, like not just playlists, like those are all like small little niceties. But really, I think this live stuff, I think that's a real interesting thing. Like if they had a live Beyonce thing, like, you know, they've got that holding off somewhere.
Absolutely.
Right. Like
they've got stuff.
Right. And they could really they could really go down the path of like interesting things. There's all sorts of ways that artists use social media for this free promotion now, which makes sense when you're not even just an up and coming artist, but even like what you might consider a mid-range artist, right? But when you're a superstar, when you're Jay, when you're Rihanna, when you're Kanye, when you're Beyonce, when you're on that level, why are you giving that stuff away for free? Like if Rihanna decided to have like a Q&A with fans, but you had to be a member of Tidal for it, that with like live, you know, where it's a video of her reading people's tweets back or answering questions or whatever. Like that's sort of starting for these big name artists to build in part of that like album promo process, like put that only in Tidal. Like there's all sorts of interesting stuff they can do there. I just don't know if they will. So to see that the stream was free was kind of funky to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then if you did sign up for Tidal, so like the next morning I was like, you know, I want to turn this into a live like album because I like to do that. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me figure out where I can get this video. I couldn't even watch it on Tidal the next morning. Like they've got it up now. But like I was like, why did it take so long? Like they're just not there yet. And it's interesting because I feel like I sound like I'm really being nitpicky, but like, you know, Spotify works really well.
But Spotify didn't work well for a minute.
But it doesn't matter. It's too late for that. Like, if I'll give you an example. So, like, what's a good
one?
So hold on, let me give you an example, right? When smartphones came out, they stunk compared to what they do now, right? Amazon came out with their Fire Phone last year, right?
right.
It's better than the first like iPhones that people had, and it's better than my old Blackberries, but is it as good as a nice Android or iPhone? No.
No.
But just because it's their first effort, but nobody cares. It doesn't matter because it doesn't matter like if you're late to the game, that doesn't mean you get to make the same mistakes. It means you have to actually be better, which is crazy. Which is why it's so important to be early. It's so important to be early.
But I'll say in their defense, though, like you have to have something. The reason why the Fire Phone didn't work was not only, you know, the specs were mid-range, the OS they used was old. You know, it was ultimately the fact that it was an Amazon phone, the Amazon specific features were not a strong enough selling point. Now with Tidal, I think that we as a culture are so like, you know, celebrity crazy that, you know, right, you're right. You know, them being all on stage saying, hey, give us more money was the wrong thing. They should have said, hey, we control of our music and we want to eliminate the middleman and give you content straight from us. That's the selling point. And since that's what social media and music largely is nowadays, and not even just music, just social media is nowadays, that would have been an excellent selling point. And I think that's what Tidal is. So if you're willing to overlook some of those things, then, you know, I think Tidal in a year is going to be completely different in a good way.
Well, then in a year it can earn our money. But like, nobody's, you don't expect somebody to pay $10 a month just so that they have the privilege of watching Tidal get better, right?
I think so. I think some people aren't looking at it the way that we look at it.
That's totally fair. I mean, if they're happy paying customers, like, that's totally great.
I just wish I didn't like I got to download the app on my phone. I wasn't a big fan of the website. That I was like, there's not a separate app because of the Spotify app on, you know, your desktop app is great. It's great. I love it. I don't want anything else. Now, I'll say this, though. I did sign up to Google Play, and I've been using Google Play more than Spotify for the last month or so. The only reason why I haven't completely ditched Spotify is because I've put in a lot of time with Spotify.
Right.
I got mad playlists.
Tons of playlists. That's the killer.
You know what I'm saying? That I'm not going to, you know, a lot of those playlists were like on a whim, like, yo, man, I want to make a playlist with this. And I did it. I don't want to remake those playlists on Google Play. But Google Play, you know, if your album's on iTunes or, you know, whatever, it's on Google Play to listen to. Like Spotify is its own app. So if you're an artist and you exclude your album from going on Spotify, I can go on Google Play and still listen to it.
Right.
You know, so there's the thing about Tyler, the creator. He removed Young and Perfect from his album on Spotify.
Wow.
I mean, I guess I have no idea. But I can get it on Google Play. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I say all that to say, I guess we need to transition because there's actually a few things that I want to talk about. We probably need to make this a whole side.
Yeah. We might be pretty close to that.
Cause I want to talk about, you know, what other artists could do a B-sides concert. We still didn't talk about Beans, and I also want to talk about what Apple is going to do. I mean, we've talked about streaming at length, but.
So one thing that's interesting, I don't know if you saw me tweet about it today, but what leaked out was Sony Records' initial contract with Spotify before Spotify launched.
Yeah, you have to explain that. I tried to read it, and it didn't make sense to me.
Basically, so everybody who is – all the artists who are pointing at Spotify and going, you guys are giving us a raw deal – I mean, we all shouldn't be surprised that the labels are fully complicit in that raw deal. And in fact, they love the raw deal. They're getting an advance. they're getting money. They're getting money up front from Spotify, but then they're not paying that out to the artists.
Mm.
So they're getting an advance. And then they pay back the advance, but like, so they get the advance, but that's just money. But then they have a royalty rate that's separate. So if they were to lower that advance, if they wanted the same amount of money, theoretically, they'd probably beef up the royalty rate. Like, the two things are somewhat related, right? I'm not 100% an expert on this, but needless to say, the record label is getting money from Spotify that they are, it's not, it appears that they are not sharing with their artists.
Mm.
So for everybody, like, and here's the interesting thing about Jay and what he's doing with Tidal is that I honestly, in a sense, it bothers me because it feels dishonest. Because you and I know enough that it's not like Jay signed an individual deal for his stuff with Spotify. It doesn't work like, I mean, not with Spotify, but with Tidal or any of those artists. If they have record labels that have any sort of say over their digital distribution, then they got involved, right? The problem with money in the record industry are the record labels. It always has been. Spotify is a symptom. It's not the problem. So that whole display seemed like it was like, come on, we're distracting from the real problem. The real problem is that record labels, the way that they make money is by taking advantage of artists. Like, that's how, these are publicly traded companies, many of them. So that means that they need to make a profit, which, and the way that they make a profit is by artists not getting, like, if Jay really wanted to help artists, he would have like a co-op, like talent group where you'd have all the different people, like promotions and everything else. They were all handled by people with salaries. They'd all be professionals, marketing, promo, A&R, all that stuff. And then all profits would be distributed back to the artists who were a member of the co-op. That's how United Artists, remember United Artists, they used to be like a movie label. So they're not really, they got folded into whatever, but that's how United Artists got started in the 30s and 40s. That same exact way. They didn't want to get jerked around by the movie studios, so they started United Artists. So there are, like, the notion that, oh, if we get people just to pay, if we get people to join join Tidal, artists will get, what is it, it's four times as much?
Mm-hmm.
Four times of, like, not much at all. Like, yeah, Spotify's rate needs to be fixed, but it's not like Tidal is the answer. So, and Jay knows that. That's the problem for me with this whole thing, is that I feel like it's just dishonest.
Mm.
Like, if, let's say everybody switched from Spotify to Tidal tomorrow, artists would still not be making enough. End of discussion. They'd be making more, but there'd still be art, but artists would not be making as much as they used to. And labels are still built on the level of, we expect money, we expect revenue to come in like it does for physical sales.
Yeah.
There's still a fundamental disconnect there. That's all, so, I got to say about it. So,
explain, because you sent me an article about what Apple's streaming service was going to do.
So there's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of early leaks and stuff like that. It's been, so Apple bought Beats last year. They've spent a while integrating them. It's rumored and it's assumed at this point. So Apple will have WWDC, which is their big developer conference next month. We're assuming that they'll, at the very least, intro their new music service, which will be essentially a combination of iTunes and Beats. So it'll have, and how this works, nobody really knows, but they're really trying to take all the stuff that Beats did well and integrate it. And this is going to be fascinating to see how they can do this without making it confusing, right? But what Beats, I'm assuming you can still sign up for Beats. I mean, when I signed up for, I tried Beats out last year. One of the things it does really well, that's sort, you were talking about artist curation on Tidal, like, hey, Beyonce put this playlist together. What Beats did really well is they had, like, music experts put playlists together.
Who are these music experts?
So actually, it's interesting. So they've actually been hiring a bunch of DJs. So Zane Lowe, who used to be with BBC.
BCC.
They poached him. But they've been hiring.
BCC is Bootcamp Click.
They've been hiring a bunch of people to put this stuff together. And even before they had these sort of quote-unquote experts, the playlists on Beats were fantastic.
I was about to say, so Beats is the original one that came out about a year and a half ago that you... I remember you talking about it on an episode where you signed up for it and you were saying the playlists are really good.
Playlists were incredible.
So this is what Apple is building off of, is what you're saying.
They're taking that and they're taking the iTunes model and they're merging it. Now, how this all works, who knows? But if what this means is that everybody who owns an iPhone or an iPad is going to get, they're not going to obviously get a free subscription, get the app already on their phone, that's going to be,
they are.
And that, so that means it's going to be super powerful.
Yeah, they are. They are. You, I mean, God,
sure.
If they put U2's album on y'all's phones, like surely you guys will have access
They will.
Yeah. So yeah. It'll be on here. Aren't they announcing the 6S and the 6S Plus at WWDC too?
No, that'll be in September. Same thing. Every iPhones in September, iPads in October, other announcements in June. They have a pretty regular schedule.
Got it. Okay.
But nobody really knows what they're going to do, just that they're taking streaming really seriously. That's why they bought Beats. It wasn't for the headphones. It was for the streaming, believe it or not.
Yeah, of course not. No, I believe that.
The headphones are a nice business, right? They make money, clearly. Beats headphones were the number one selling headphones at Apple stores already. So for them, it made sense. But from, you notice they're not like putting the Beats logo on anything. They're not, they're not like doing what I think some laptop companies did and have like a little Beats logo on the next to the keyboard, so you know it had quote unquote Beats audio. Like, they're not doing that. Like, they bought it for really, okay, the headphone business can be headphones, fine, but they bought it because they saw where streaming was going, and they're like, we could try to build this from scratch, or we can look at Beats, which they're right, Beats was really a unique take on it, and so let's see what we can do. Because ultimately, unless you're going to do something different, like, look, I love Spotify, and Spotify has gotten better at this, but at its core, Spotify is basically iTunes except you stream it, right? It's the same model. It's
sort of, but
they've gotten better. They've got these sort of,
buy the album.
No, you still can't buy the album. But what I mean by that is like, oh, I want to look, I'm thinking of an artist, so let me look at them and let me find them. Whereas Beats isn't really organized that way at all. It's more about I'm in the mood for, or.
Well, Spotify has done that.
Gotten better at that. But I think Apple basically was saying, we see what Beats can do. So, and frankly, nobody really knows exactly what this will look like. So we have a lot to find out next month. But streaming is,
G-Unit is the future.
Is there anything, is there anything you want to say about streaming?
No, we haven't talked about SoundCloud.
Oh, SoundCloud.
Yeah. Like what?
I feel like somebody needs to buy them.
No, they did.
Nobody bought SoundCloud.
Something happened somebody didn't buy them, but like, I think they're linking up with labels and they're like, much the way SoundCloud is now, like it's not going to be that way in another year.
Well, they're trying to take the YouTube model where you can scan a track and then determine if somebody should get royalties based off that, which means there's going to be ads.
There's already ads. I get ads on my app.
I've never heard an ad on SoundCloud.
Yeah, I get ads. If I'm skimming through my SoundCloud timeline, and if I skip maybe like more than 4 or 5 songs, I'm getting an ad. Mm. And I cannot, and it's not like the YouTube ad where, you can skip it after 5 seconds. I have to listen to the whole commercial.
I mean,
first world problem, but it's still trash.
Let me ask you, would you pay for ad-free SoundCloud?
No.
Well, then how do you expect them to make money? Right.
Sell dope?
Right. That's the problem. It's the problem with any service that has the philosophy of we're going to be free, and then when we get really figure out how to make money,
right? Which is definitely what Twitter's doing,
Facebook, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all these companies,
Instagram, Snap, yeah, all that stuff.
Right. I mean, Instagram and Snapchat, they're actually doing all they're figuring out. Okay, like there's sort of a logical way that they can have different brands like advertise inside the app because it kind of makes sense. Like, if you're on Instagram and you scroll down and like one of them is like an ad, like if it's as long as it's not stupid, it just looks like a post and you're not. It's just not like
a post.
It's not that big of a deal. It's not like a blinking like banner ad from like the late 90s on the web or anything. right. But SoundCloud and actually YouTube can be like you're sitting there, you're trying to watch YouTube and it's like it's not really that seamless. That's the killer thing. Like it's like, oh, now something's got to load. OK, now I'm watching this video. OK, now I can skip like. This is again huge first world problems.
And even with YouTube, you'll be watching a longer video, and they'll interrupt it for an ad.
Right. So anything that's timeline where like you're scrolling down has an opportunity to do ads, right? Like, I feel like Twitter can do it. I just don't know if they will do it.
Twitter does it.
They do
on the official Twitter app.
Yeah. Let me tell you the last time I used an official Twitter app.
I'm surprised. I use the official Twitter app, and I really don't need to anymore because I was originally using it to, check retweets and favorites and, any sort of analytics and stuff. But the app I use now, the third-party app I use, does it. But you'd be surprised how many people use the official Twitter app.
Oh, I know. Everybody does. Because it's Twitter. Like, you go, when you get a phone, you go in the app store, you search for Twitter. That's how it works. Like, everybody uses the official Facebook app.
I mean, but Facebook was never known for third-party apps. The reason, one of the reasons why Twitter got so popular was
it got popular with nerds, though.
Nerds? What got popular with nerds?
Twitter. Twitter got popular with nerds because of third-party apps. But we're not talking about nerds now. We're talking about, like, everybody using Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I just to make my, I guess we're all nerds. I believe that everybody's a nerd about something, but.
We're All Nerds would be a great Pharrell album title, by the way.
Was it We're All Nerds?
We're All Nerds.
I mean, I'm sure, like a slogan or something, like a, yeah, totally. But the ability to customize your social media experience totally is what helped Twitter. I mean, aside from the format and what it does and what it is, definitely. But just the ability to experience it and customize it in a way that third-party apps offer. Like, nobody who really loves Twitter, no, like, they'll use the official Twitter app. Like, the official app is cluttered. It's really cluttery. And I would love to know, use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers and hit us up at CRS Podcast. If you use the official Twitter app, why? and I mean, there's different ones for iPhone and Android.
Yeah, I was going to say, so tell people. So obviously, you're going to have the Android recommendation. I'll have the iPhone recommendation. On Android, yeah. What app should people be using?
I love Phoenix. Phoenix is great. I was a big fan of Plume for years. So I always recommend Plume first, but I use Phoenix. Falcon is good. Those are the three right there. Those are the three best to me on Android.
The only app we acknowledge on iPhone is Tweetbot. That's it. Tweetbot. That's the best one. There's other ones, Twitterific, other stuff like that, but no, Tweetbot. It's the best. Yes, you have to pay for it. Yes, it's worth it.
I mean, and that's the thing, though. But with apps like Fam, okay, it's $2.99 because you have to pay. I think for all three of the ones I named, they're all paid apps. But if it's $2.99, $3.99, like, don't go to lunch for one day. Like, and if you use it as much as most of us use Twitter, you're going to get your money's worth completely.
Right.
Totally. So I don't know. But yeah, hit us up. We'll work that out.
Yeah. Tweetbot is $4.99. It's fabulous. It's fantastic. I can't. It's the only app. Like, do you use Twitter lists?
Nah.
Yeah. See, Tweetbot makes it like really crazy easy to do. Use lists. You want to mute people or a hashtag for an hour, a day, a week. Super easy. Like, all this stuff is great. Easy. Like, I probably have one, two. I don't know. I got like four different like Twitter accounts logged into this one app. It's fantastic.
I've kind of wanted to, but I don't know, man. I'm gonna take a Twitter sabbatical.
Twitter sabbatical.
Holler at me on Instagram. I'll be posting pictures of my kids doing dad stuff, but I don't think I'm gonna be on Twitter this summer.
Find him on Pinterest so you can figure out where his mood's at.
I'm just gonna be posting pictures of shoes and recipes. About it.
And with that, we're going to end side A of this week's Clock Radio Speakers.
Man, there's still so much more to talk about. We need to talk about, you know, beans and...
All right. Well, hold on. So we'll chill real quick. So
we can talk about NBA. We can talk about that.
Side B will also be on ClockRadioSpeakers.com, our fourth district. And we're going to talk NBA playoffs. We're going to talk Snoop's new album. We're going to talk the Tuxedo album, right?
And just overall... Summer records.
Summer records. All right, so we'll see you on Side B.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.